Get the answers you need now. Contact the show by calling 416-872-1010 or text 71010. You're listening to The Animal House with Dr. Clayton Greenway on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
Welcome to Animal House. I'm your host, Dr. Clayton Greenway. This is the show where I invite you into my appointment room and take your questions about your pets. I've been practicing veterinary medicine for 15 years in Toronto. I've completed advanced training in orthopedic surgery, emergency care procedures, and internal medicine in dogs and cats. So this hour is a great opportunity to get your pet vet questions answered. The phone lines are open, so give us a call. 416-872-1010 or text us at 71010. If you're calling long distance, 1-877-518-5151. But more importantly, I'm here to help you. I'll give you honest answers so you can make the best medical decisions for your pet. I love helping people who love their pets, so give me a call. We get lots of calls, but if you call in early, if you call in now, I can guarantee that I'll get to your question. The phone lines are open, 416-872-1010 or text us at 71010. And as always, I can promise my listeners one thing. If you care enough to call in, then I will care about your pet and give you the very best medicine I can deliver.
Now, what seems to be the problem? You can tell me. I'm a vet tuner.
All right, that's how we like to start the show. Okay, little announcement. We've got a great guest coming on the show a little later today. His name is Grant Crossman, and what does he do? He puts on the Spring Canadian Pet Expo. What are you doing next weekend? This is what's going on. I highly encourage you and your family to visit. It is Canada's largest indoor family pet festival. It's happening at the International Center, 6900 Airport Road in Mississauga. It is running from Friday to Sunday, April 7th to 9th. Doors open at 10 a.m. And it is the Easter long weekend. You can go to CanadianPetExpo.ca to take a look at everything that's going on, which is amazing. I swear, you know, I've been involved with this show. I've worked with Grant. I've talked to him about this, and he's come on to tell us about it. It's quite a passion for him. It's an absolute passion project, and it is just a terrific event for animal and pet lovers of all kinds. And there are so many things going on there. Every year, there's new stuff. That's what I'm always surprised about. You've got all types of activities, events, shows. You've got all these vendors that are just terrific. If you're looking for, you know, that gift that you want to give to a fellow pet lover, you're going to find it there. Just walking amongst the vendors that are selling all sorts of stuff for our pets to improve the lives of our pets, our enjoyment of them. It's just a terrific event. You can take your whole family, your two-legged and your four-legged family members, and you will have just a great time. It's such a terrific space to walk around. A lot of the events that are going on, there are some that are just fantastic, and there's a little too many to mention. But we've got some of the returning events. The CPE Cat Club presents an 18-ring kind of back-to-back show with the greatest breeds of cats. There is the Spring Canine Fun Zone, which is like lure courses and the aqua dogs that are dock diving. They'll have a dock diving installation there. You know, you can try these things out as well. You can go to the website and figure out how you can do that. There is the Bird Zone. This is basically an opportunity to meet Canada's leading pet avian specialty shop. There's a parade of parrots, with audience participation. It's fantastic. There's so many things to do. What I really love about it is it encourages responsible pet ownership. Part of that is also having something like the Canine Good Neighbor Program. This is like a 12-step test that, when completed successfully, will ensure that one of your dog is accepted as a valued member of our communities. There's lots of things for the kids. Here's a really cool thing: creative grooming. You'll be able to put on by Puppy Love Spa and Opaws. There's a kids model dog workshop. There's, of course, Celebrity Pets. Always has had the Celebrity Pets wandering around at the event as well. There is a fantastic fantastic dog show put on Sarah Carson and Canine Stars Stunt Dog Show. This Sarah Carson has appeared on America's Got Talent. She's basically has these super collies that do all these tricks. She's even putting on a trick workshop so you can learn how to train your dog to do the exact same things that she does. And one of my favorite people there, a gentleman who owns Gemini Canine. These are professional trainers specializing in pet communication, socialization, and science-based behavioral theory. For the first time ever, they'll be hosting a daily demonstration in the Amazon.ca arena, an educational event. It will inspire and entertain viewers with their specialty trained canine partners. There's just it's a terrific show. Let me tell you again, it is next weekend, April 7th to the 9th. Doors open at 10 a.m. It's the Easter long weekend. It is the Spring Canadian Pet Expo. It is the largest indoor family pet festival, 6900 Airport Road, Mississauga at the International Center. Go to CanadianPetExpo.ca and you will see all the fantastic events that are going on and how you can get involved. And we'll talk to Grant a little bit later about what he's looking forward to. And no doubt he is very busy putting that together. All right. Let's go to the phones in the meantime, and we'll help you out. Give us a call, 416-872-1010, if you've got a question for me. Let's go. This one, I don't know what's going on here. Kathleen, you've got Benny, a one-year-old cockapoo. It says something here about tightness of the leash around your dog. What's going on?
My question is, how do you know if it's too tight? Like, I could put my fingers underneath the leash and run it around his neck.
All right.
But I'm wondering if that's too tight.
Okay. You know what? I've actually never had this question on the radio before. Is there a reason you're asking? Is there a problem that's going on?
Well, he's very, very fluffy. And
it's just tough to tell.
Pardon me?
It's just tough to tell, right? Because you see, there's so much hair.
Well, I had his hair cut right down.
Okay.
But he's got very long hair, and it's growing back. And as it's growing back, I'm wondering whether the leash, or his collar, sorry, the collar.
Sure.
Is what it meant.
Kathleen, it's pretty simple. All you do is you always want to be able to put two fingers in there. It shouldn't be overly tight on your two fingers, but you should be able to run them around. It sounds like you've got it at the right size. The one thing that we worry about with a tight collar is obviously pressure on the neck and coughing that can occur. When you've got a small breed dog like this, they do have tracheal issues. The trachea is the windpipe that runs from the mouth down to the lungs, and it can become irritated. They can have something called tracheal collapse over time. Your dog is much too young for this. But, I appreciate that you're mentioning it, particularly for other people out there. You just don't want, look, all of our dogs pull on the leash and the collar. And sure, that can cause them to cough. But you certainly don't want it happening just because it's too tight. So I think that'll help you out. I appreciate the call, Kathleen. I really appreciate it.
I also have a question regarding peanut butter in one of those...
One of those toys, those hard rubber toys. I don't want to say the name of it, but what's your question about that?
Can you give them too much?
That's a good question. You know what? You can give them too much of anything. In fact, too much love is really what makes them fat as well. That's the thing. You can give too much of anything. I would say this. Look, peanut butter has been given to dogs forever. Let me make a mention that you don't want to use the peanut-free peanut butter, okay? That's pretty much, it's very hard to find these days because it can really harm them. But the thing is with just regular peanut butter, I think you'd be fine with giving them, look, the amount that you put in one of those toys that you're talking about, one of those rubber toys, it's not going to be a problem. What you do want to watch is a response. Just like all of our dogs, they're individuals. They can each be sensitive to anything we give them. So whenever we give them something, a treat or anything new, we want to be watching their stools, their reaction. Do they vomit? Are they okay? Are they itching anywhere. And whenever we give them something, you want to give them one thing at a time and not give them a bunch of different things, because then you don't know which one might have caused a reaction. So, yeah, absolutely.
I only give it to him when I'm going out and I put him in his crate.
Sure. Give him something to do.
Yeah.
No, I think you're fine. You're well within the limits, and I don't think there's any problems there. I appreciate your question.
One more question, if you don't mind. He jumps like four feet and will grab anything off the kitchen counter. Anything. I have to keep everything in the middle of the kitchen counter.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a breed. I don't know.
I think any dog could do that. Here's what I'd say. You're doing the right thing by putting things away on the counter, but basically it's just good, wholesome, general discipline. What I would do is when you catch them in the act, you've got to discipline them. Basically, you don't want to do some serious punishment here. But dogs know when they're doing something wrong. We can make kind of alarm noises. You know, we can talk to them sternly, like we usually don't talk to them in that tone, and they'll know. They'll get the sense of it. You just got to stay on top of them. And I know he probably loves doing it. It depends on what you have on the counter. So what you can do is you can kind of consider, you know, the access, trying to prevent the access, but also disciplining when he does that. Look, we've got to go to commercial break. That's three questions for you, Kathleen. You kept me on the phone here, and I appreciate the questions. All right, when we come back, one question per caller. When we come back, we'll take your questions. You're listening to Animal House.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
To interact with veterinarian and pet expert Dr. Clayton Greenway, send your text to 71010.
Welcome back to Animal House. We're having a good time this morning. I hope you are too. If you've got a question for me, give us a call, 416-872-1010, and we will help you out. There's some really good questions here. Let's get right back to the phones. Sean, you've got Koa Labradoodle. You want to know how to stop dogs from licking cuts? My goodness, if you could do that, you'd be a rich man.
Yeah. So
what's going on?
Koa, he ended up nicking himself on a broken glass window. So we bandaged it and kept an eye on it and took him to the vet a couple days ago. And they inspected and said everything's good. It's healing properly. They put a little polysporin and re-bandaged it.
Yeah.
He wanted to keep it covered for 2 days and then let it go so then it can breathe a little bit. So
sure.
We put the cone on him, but, you know, he's a doodle. So he's got, like, a really large snout. And, you know, any bigger of a cone, it just won't work.
Yeah.
So, and it's his front left paw, so it's super easy to get at. So
yeah. How badly is he getting at it?
You know, we can redirect them pretty easily, but we're just more worried, like, if we leave him alone for a couple hours and he just goes nonstop, like, he just gets into his zone where he's like, lick, 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 and then you snap out pretty easily, but no one snaps him out, then.
Yeah. So there's a couple things. Like a lot of people think, oh, well, dogs, you know, licking their wounds, it helps them heal. No, it doesn't. Doesn't at all. It will only cause more irritation, inflammation. Moisture is not good for the cut. So you've got it bandaged. I agree. I hate bandages. Whenever I can avoid bandages, I want to, because I want the air getting to it so it dries out. You know, one part is just how irritating it is to them. And there are products you can get from the vet that have like a steroid spray that you can spray on it. I mean, the incision has to heal, but it will heal regardless. If there's inflammation associated with it, using a bit of a steroid spray locally can calm it down to the point that he doesn't go after it. The other things you got to get creative with. I mean, everybody hates the cone. There's no question. And one of the things is just getting the cone the right size and stuff like that. But look, if let's say we're not using that, then you've got to get pretty creative. You can use things like long sleeve shirts that kind of dangle down. You know, you put his arms in a shirt, put a shirt on him, and it could cover it, depending on where it is on his limb. That can cover over it without it being right down to the incision, so it still gets some air. There are some really creative things you could do, basically to try to avoid him licking it directly. Like, what you got to worry about too is, even if you put something over it, he could, you know, lick it to the point that it just gets moist, and that wouldn't be good for it either. So sometimes you're just stuck with that cone. But you know, one thing you can use is you can use like leggings. Basically, yeah, stockings that you put the arm in, and you can like rip at the top of the stocking. You can kind of rip down it and make two strands at the top of the stocking and kind of tie it over the dog's back. And so you can, that will certainly stay in place, and you can put anything under there, the bandage, whatnot, and it will, it'll definitely deter and stay in place. So those are a couple different ideas. How badly is he going after it?
Just when we're sitting down and, you know, he's by our feet, he's just like quietly licking, and then you catch him in the moment. So
yeah.
Anytime he knows, you know, we're watching, he doesn't. But when he gets like a spare moment, he just,
yeah, they're sneaky,
goes after it. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's one of the other things, is just the discipline of it too, is staying on top of him, and that can actually avoid it as well. But yeah, whenever he gets bored, certainly his mind is going to go to it. And so really, the biggest thing I try to do is decrease the irritation. So if you call your vet about a spray, a topical steroid spray, I mean, you can use the bitter apple stuff too and see if that keeps him away from it. It won't really cause a problem with the cut. You put it around the sides of it. But yeah, I'll leave you with that. And there's a bunch of ideas there you could try. I appreciate it. All right, for anybody else, give us a call, 416-872-1010, and we will help you out. Oh, boy, let's see what's going on here. Kelly, you've got Miguel, a 13-month-old Bernedoodle, and he chipped a tooth?
Yes, he did.
Oh, God, what is the vet saying?
So the vet said it's at the root, and they are recommending that we either remove it, or there's cosmetic surgery like root canal, etc. We're more worried about infection, pain, things like that for him.
Which tooth is it?
It's his front tooth.
Okay, like right in the front.
Right in the front, yes. And you can see when you lift open his mouth, you can see the part of the root.
Yeah, you can actually see the dot in the middle of the tooth.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And has he been neutered?
Yes, he has.
Okay. So this involves just, you know, obviously a whole nother anesthetic and, you know, extraction of the tooth. Let me ask you this. What kind of estimate have they given you?
So they said if we did the cosmetic surgery, it was probably between 2,000 and 3,000.
Jeez. Yeah.
And if it's an extraction, probably about 1,000, but they have a special on.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So that would knock about $250 off.
Wow. Isn't that lucky?
Isn't that something on a Wednesday?
Yeah. Did you ever expect it cost you this much to remove a tooth from your dog?
No, absolutely. We didn't expect it to happen at all.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's, I mean, most of it's a crazy thing, right? Because it's the tooth at the front, I mean, it will pop out like you wouldn't believe, right? It's the way that it is, the fact that it's broken off like that, and it's probably down close to the gum line, it, you know, means that it's hard to get a little more leverage on the tooth, and you have to, like, cut into the gum and do a little procedure.
It's actually halfway.
Okay. Yeah.
So you can see, like, they would have an easy grip, I guess, to get
right.
He was saying then there's more risk of damaging the other tooth because the roots are so close.
Yeah. The you know, if it were a kid, you just tie a string around it, close the door. And then you have no problem. Yeah. The problem, this is always a big problem for me with the broken tooth, because you also said that he's doing fine, right? There's no problems whatsoever.
Not at all. And so
he's eating fine?
Eating fine, he's playing, everything is good that way. So we asked about infection, and he said you probably have about a week to 2 weeks before an infection could set in.
Yeah. Well, here's one of the things. I mean, dogs in the wild, things like that, I mean, they break their tooth. They crunch on rocks and all this sort of stuff as they're, you know, eating things and trying to feed themselves. And so they can tolerate this stuff incredibly well. In fact, if it were us, we'd be screaming and running to the dentist. And quite frankly, this is the same level of discomfort that they would have. It's just they don't show it hardly at all. In fact, sometimes it takes taking the tooth out to notice the difference in the dog. And the differences can be subtle. They can just be a little bit muted, a little less active. It can be really hard to see pain behavior. This is the gold standard, is when a tooth is impacted like that, you go in and you take it out. Because what you don't want is you don't want it to further fracture and you don't want it to be infected. It's just I hate this type of case, because being in the appointment room and kind of telling someone, look, we got to do this for this expense and go under anesthetic, that is what we're supposed to do. And there is discomfort. Of course, the client is just not seeing anything. So there's nothing else I can recommend other than to go through with an anesthetic and having it removed. It would be an incredibly quick one. These days, the cost of veterinary medicine is expensive. I've always been an associate. I've never been an owner, so I've never been responsible for setting fees. But this is where it's gotten to, with the fact that there's just not enough vets around and things like that. No, you know, the vets aren't killing it. They're not making an absolute killing. You know, they're making probably a little better than a living wage, but something, reasonable for the amount of education. But that's really the only, there's only one way to do it, and that would be doing the anesthetic and removing the, yeah, there's okay. You know,
if
I always
for him, then of course, absolutely, if that's best for him, then that's what we'll do.
Yeah, look, there's people that can't afford these things, and then it doesn't happen and the dog lives with it. And that's another option. That's the only other option. There's really nothing in between. But that's where I would leave you with it. And I think it's something to take care of, because it's pretty obvious that it's happening, and there's going to be discomfort with it no matter what, even though you're seeing that he seems to be doing pretty well. So I'll leave you with that. I don't have any tricks of the trade for you, but that's what you have. And you can certainly call around as far as an estimate is concerned. Thanks for the call. I really appreciate it, and good luck with that. When we come back, we will be joined by Grant Crossman, the man responsible for the Spring Canadian Pet Expo next weekend, and we'll talk about all the great things that are going on there. You're listening to Animal House.
Johnny is a joker. He's a bird. A very funny joker. He's a bird. But when he jokes my honey, he's a dog. He's joking, ain't so funny. What a dog.
Get the answers you need now. Contact the show by calling 416-872-1010 or text 71010. You're listening to The Animal House with Dr. Clayton Greenway on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
Welcome back to Animal House. As I always say, listen to the radio and then take the dog for a walk. What are you doing next weekend? It is the Spring Canadian Pet Expo, the largest indoor family pet festival. It's going on at the International Center, 6900 Airport Road in Mississauga, next weekend, Friday to Sunday. Doors open at 10 a.m. You can go to CanadianPetExpo.ca to see all the great stuff that's going on, how you can get involved, how you can get your pet involved. There are just fantastic workshops, entertainment shows, educational events. It's just terrific, and wonderful vendors there for all sorts of stuff that you can buy to enjoy your pet with. And you can take your whole family, your two-legged and four-legged family members, and it's just a terrific event. And we've got Grant Crossman on, one of my favorite people. He's the one putting on this show. How are you doing, Grant?
Great, sir. How are you today?
I'm terrific. You are a busy man, I'm sure.
Yes, getting down to the crunch, but you know, this is the most exciting time of the year for us, because it's the spring show, the legacy show that started the whole family growth. And you know,
yeah, 25 years, yeah. Great. I mean, we've worked together for quite some time. This is just an absolute passion project for you. What I really love is the family of people that you have in your crew that are always there every year that make this event so great. I mean, what really started it off for you? Why do you do this?
You know, my wife and I have been in the pet world for decades. And one thing we saw was the need for a community to come together. And that's what it's all about. It's the entire pet community, whether it's a four-legged, it's a feathered friend, or it's a scaly friend, or an aquatic friend. We don't suggest you bring your fish out, but just think about it. It's the community, because at the end of the day, when we can share our knowledge and our experiences with those future community members or families that are looking to get into a pet world, that's important. It's responsible pet companionship, you know, and we want to make sure that their lives are full of enrichment and the families know what it is. It's a lifetime commitment. It's not just a novelty or a niche. It's a lifetime commitment.
Yeah, I think one of the things that always strikes me, I mean, it never gets old, is when I'm there walking around, just how everyone feels, just how I feel walking around amongst all the pets, people that are celebrating their pets and bringing them along. You know, it really, the space that you create is amazing for them, and it makes it really easy to go around and enjoy everything that's going on, and there's lots of amazing things. What are you particularly looking forward to? Because I see there's a lot of new stuff, too.
A lot of exciting stuff. What we're really thrilled about this year is Sarah Carson's coming back to Canada for the first time. Sarah Carson and Hero started their venture with the Canadian Pet Expo many years ago before they went on to the America's Got Talent celebrity status, and now she's filming and doing phenomenal things around the world, and this is the first time she's coming back to Canada. So she's coming back with the Canine All-Stars group that she's been touring the U.S. with. They do a phenomenal canine stunt show, and it's just such high energy. It's a giant ball pit jump. It's big leaps, big bounds, lots of it's exciting. The energy is awesome. In the Amazon arena as well, Amazon.ca arena, we've got Chris and Margarita from Gemini Canine. They're coming out to educate people on how they train their dogs for certain things like police work, security work. Because, you know, the social media world, it's a great web. It's a great opportunity to learn from. But sometimes the message is a little bit off kilter. So these are professionals. They want to show people how to properly engage with those that know how to do it. And that's an exciting event, you know. So that's a lot of fun. And then we got the agility fun zone for the dogs, a lure course. For the first time, we're allowing fly ball. You can try your dog, or your dog can try.
Right.
I don't want to see you running down the path.
No, I won't be doing that. They'll go much faster. But I'm looking forward to that. Chris has been on the show before. He's with Gemini Canine, and I mean, he's just spent his life doing this. And that's the thing, you know, when you have these people that have been doing it for so long, it's very easy for them to share that passion with the group that's there and teach people. And that's really what's amazing. It really heightens our relationship with our pet, but there's also just the fun stuff. I mean, I always love that there's the celebrity pets that will always be there. Lots of places to take pictures, the creative grooming, of course, all these things that people can get involved with too.
Oh yeah, it's a completely interactive enrichment for you and your pets and your family, all members. You know, so there's the Easter photos. There's all kinds of opportunities there. There's the Tika Cat Show. You will never see as many purebred cats anywhere in Canada for 2 days. Some of the greatest new breeds are coming in from around the world for this. It's exciting stuff. The Parrot Zone is going to be there with Ethical Parrot Owners Association, Homestead Hatchery, Exotic Wings. The Reptile Zone is exciting. It's a lot of fun, you know. And one thing a lot of people don't understand or really do well is pet people are pet people. We are our own community. And when you get this many people together, it's a heck of a weekend.
You know, you're directly responsible for my son Jack having a snake, by the way, right?
That's great.
I mean, you know that. I mean, I've taken them to this thing, and they've always loved it so much. The vendors, the marketplace, particularly the reptile, I mean, I mention this from time to time, is the knowledge base of the vendors and the reptile breeders that are there. It is just amazing to walk around and look at what they have, you know, for sale. And, of course, what we always encourage is responsible pet ownership. Nobody going there and just picking up a pet out of nowhere. Nobody encourages that whatsoever. Basically, you've got to be educated about this stuff, and that's what I've always liked about your shows and the message that you bring to people and encourage is about pet ownership.
Oh, absolutely. It's all about information. This isn't a impulse purchase opportunity. This is a lifetime commitment, and that's the thing. Is you've got some of the leaders within the reptile world. You got Poor Credit Pets, Reptiles Are Us, Tangling Webs. You got some of the vendors that have been with our family for 30 plus years. And
right.
It's all about sharing the education and the information.
Yeah, and what I also love is the, you always have the same sponsors. They come back all the time because it's such a great event. Crumps Naturals, World Best Cat Litter, Cat It, they make great products. Of course, they're gonna be there. Now you've got Amazon.ca supporting that as well with Sarah's show. And I was just watching a video before the broadcast, and it is insane. I don't know how she's able to train these dogs, and she's doing a workshop as well to help people learn how to do that?
Right. So each morning, she's opened up a private workshop for, I believe, 12 individuals that can sign up. I think there's a couple spots left open on Sunday, where she'll do one-on-ones with you and your dog, show you some tricks or some tips on how to train your dog to do some of the great feats that, you know, she's learned with her dog. So she's got such a fabulous reputation throughout North America and stuff, and her training tricks and her app and stuff. It's exciting, and she's home. She's coming home.
Right. And the thing that I always find interesting is you would think with all these animals there that it would be loud, stuffy, crowded. It's not at all. I mean, the way that you've put it on, there's so much space. And, you know, I've never seen a dog fight happen or anything like that. I've never seen pets get into it. There's tons of space to maneuver around. The other thing is I've never seen a mess there. Now, you probably have seen enough messes. You're always running around with the paper towels. But the thing is, I've never encountered it. I mean, there's no odor. There's no smell. I mean, the place is big. It's enjoyable. It's great for the kids. Really, I've always had a great time whenever I've been there.
You know, when we started doing this, there's one thing my wife, Yvonne, said. She goes, we have to do it right for the pets. You know, the people will come, do it right for the pets. Aisles are wide open. We make sure every pet comes in and they're, you know, equipped with the necessary items for them to enjoy themselves, a water bottle, a water bowl, a treat, a little cleanup bag. And we've got one of the best cleanup teams I've ever seen. You know, Aaron and his crew come through and they do a great job. They do a fabulous job. But again, responsible pet ownership, pet companionship, it starts with just cleaning up after one another too. So you'll see it. Individuals.
Yeah.
Sometimes the pets have accidents. They get excited.
That's what it's done for my family. I mean, it's taught them, and it's also resulted in us having a bigger pet family. Pets that I wouldn't have imagined having. And that's honestly directly responsible is my experience going to the shows. And that's, you know, the kids, I mean, it's an amazing thing, right? It really builds their self-consciousness. It builds their self-confidence. Taking care of a pet, learning about pets. Just to remind everybody, it is the Spring Canadian Pet Expo. It's Canada's largest indoor family pet festival. It is next weekend, April 7th to 9th. Doors open at 10 a.m. It's at the International Center, 6900 Airport Road. There's free parking. There's no reason not to go. And you can go to CanadianPetExpo.ca to find out all the amazing events that are going on, how you can get involved, how you can sign up your pet and be involved with the show. And it's just a terrific family event. You will absolutely enjoy it. Grant, I bet you are going to be busy between now and then. I hope things go well with the planning, and I really appreciate you coming on and talking about it.
Have a wonderful time. We look forward to seeing everybody next weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks, Grant. Okay. When we come back, more of your questions. You're listening to Animal House.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat?
To interact with veterinarian and pet expert Dr. Clayton Greenway, send your text to 71010.
Cat, pussy, cat,
welcome back to Animal House. Thanks for coming along with us. Give us a call, 416-872-1010, if you've got a question. What a great, I love talking to Grant. You know what? I love working with people who are passionate about what they do. It's not just about, you know, their vocation. It's not just about making money. It's about a brand. It's about bringing something to the people that he really enjoys. And it's always so much fun working with people who absolutely have a passion with what they do. Definitely check that out. Go to CanadianPetExpo.ca to find out all the great things going on next weekend. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Ron. You've got Jazz, a 10-year-old cat, and it was recently diagnosed with diabetes. How is it going?
Thanks for taking my call, doctor. It's going kind of crazy because when we took her in for her vaccines, we mentioned that she was urinating a lot, trying to eat a lot, and very lethargic. They did test her for diabetes, And we took her in for a day assessment, and she had 18 MMOs, and it went down during the day to 13.4. So there was some encouragement that we're doing one shot, one unit every 12 hours. To make it better, we decided we're going to buy the diabetic food, 85 grams, and we give her a can of that each twice a day. And the urination slowed down a bit, but she's become very demanding and voiceful, if you can say that, at 5 o'clock in the morning.
She's hungry.
Eat, and at 3 o'clock, if we walk in the door, she's right on you. So it's still working there. We go on Monday for another assessment to see, but we just wonder if we've done enough or if there's anything else we can do.
Right. You're doing the right stuff. And just to catch everybody up, basically, you know, diabetes, exactly like people, it occurs in cats all the time. It will cause those symptoms, urination, you know, a huge appetite. They can, you know, their energy levels can be off. Here's what's happening is you've just started on the insulin. I mean, what's amazing to me is always going in there, figuring out that your cat is diabetic. Now you're doing shots and giving it needles. How did that go? How did you adapt to that?
Well, they showed us how to do it. My wife's been the one doing the most of it while I'm holding her down. So you go behind the corner of her shoulder blades and then put the needle into it. So it's pretty simple from that perspective, and she's been very cooperative.
Terrific.
So that part's been okay. It's just, you know, we're trying to look if we can do anything possible, because it's still possible to wean her off the insulin.
Yeah, so once you get it up to a more appropriate dosage, so they've just started it, that, you know, we never know how sensitive they are to it, so they're starting slow. They've given you a little bit to give each time, and so what you're seeing is a little bit of improvement in the urination and hunger, but it's going to improve a lot more when the dose gets adjusted. And no doubt, they're going to go in for what's called that blood glucose curve, check out how that dose is doing right now. One of the problems with pets is, you know, if a person has diabetes, they can test their own blood and dial it in and basically choose how much insulin to give. We have to choose a dose that you then give consistently twice a day after that. So they'll go in for another check, and basically they'll increase the dose. They'll probably increase it relatively significantly, and that's when you'll see these symptoms come under control. You're doing all the right stuff. There's nothing here that you're doing wrong, and you can't, you know, I wouldn't go increasing the dose without their guidance and without that recheck blood glucose curve. So you're right on track.
Yeah, and we're going in on Monday, so we're going to have a 9 o'clock appointment and give her her shot at 7 o'clock in the morning, so then they'll know when they test again for the blood and that to see if there's improvement in that. So I guess the food is still a good thing, or can't hurt?
Yeah, it can't hurt. And the thing is right now she's got the appetite. She's eating well. And, of course, you want her to eat before you give her the shot, ideally. But also giving a shot does encourage the hunger because it drops the blood sugar, right? So then that can stimulate the hunger as well. But basically you'll have to see how she does when the dose increases. And they'll guide you on that. You're doing all the right stuff. You're exactly where you're supposed to be at this point, so no concerns.
Is 85 grams? She lost over a pound or so. So is 85 grams for a 9-pound cat, sort of thing?
Right.
Okay.
So what I'd say about that is what you're going to see is you're going to see some of the weight come back on because the insulin allows her body to, you know, pull the glucose out of her bloodstream. So she's going to start putting some of that weight back on. The thing that I would have you do is basically I would have to do the calculation. You can have one of the registered veterinary technicians at the clinic look at, you know, her body condition score, what her ideal body condition would be, and how many calories she should have. And then they'll look at that can of food and figure out exactly how much of the can she should be getting to put that weight back on. They can do that calculation for you. So really I've got, you know, just the only thing I can do in this call is tell you, you know, you're doing all the right stuff. You're going in the right direction and feel settled and confident that you're in good shape. So
that's comforting. Thank you very much.
And good luck with things. You've done a great job. It sounds like she's really adapted. It's not the easiest thing to start treating. So you've done a real good job. You're on the right course.
You're doing a great job on this call.
Well, yeah, thanks very much. I appreciate the call. For anybody else, give us a call, 416-872-1010, and I will help you out. Let's go to this one's interesting. Cheryl, you've got Archie, you've got some French bulldogs, and they're recommending surgery to fix them. What's going on?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. It's just Archie, not Waylon. Waylon's fine, but Archie is a very loud breather. It's like very loud. You can hear him coming from a good
sounds like me when I'm sleeping.
Yeah. So they're suggesting, and I'm going to pronounce it incorrectly, an arch reception, sure what's involved, and just concerned because I don't like putting them under anesthetic if I don't have to.
Sure. Basically, what they're recommending is a surgery to fix the way they were born. Right? I mean, that's so what these dogs are born with, these brachycephalic breeds with the smushed up faces, they're born with stenotic nares. That's one thing. They're also something called elongated soft palates. And so what happens is this is all about their airway. And so right at their nose, they've kind of got, you know, extra tissue that gets in the way. I mean, even when you look at their face, you kind of look and see that, you know, the nose is kind of curled in and there's a lot of tissue and it basically cones down the airway. And then at the back of the throat, you've got a soft palate that extends at the roof of the mouth and goes to the back, and that gets in the way too when it gets relaxed. That particularly is the reason why a lot of people have sleep apnea and stuff like that. That tissue gets, you know, I would say weak and flappy or relaxed, and then it blocks the airway and the ability to breathe. So, you know, what's interesting is, you know, I've rarely had to send, like, this is it's a difficult surgery. I perform a lot of additional surgeries. I don't perform this one, but, you know, a lot of the time, a board certified surgeon has to do it and they remove that tissue, right? They kind of like pull back and remove that tissue. And the bottom line is like, it's rare that they necessarily have to have this. I mean, you haven't seen any problems other than the noisy breathing, right?
That's correct. He doesn't have any problems. And they're only recommending it for Archie. They're not recommending it for Waylon because Waylon is very quiet.
Right. How old is Archie?
1 year, a year.
Yeah. So the places where this can become a problem is obviously in the summer, right? Heat stress, things mm-hmm. like that, their ability to get air in and out of their body and basically pant and regulate their temperature. If you're noticing the difference between the two of them, sure. I mean, you know, if you're coming in with that problem, that's really the only solution. What I always worry about is the question about whether do they really need this? Is this really going to cause them a problem? Do you see anything that's discomforting about this for him?
No, I don't see any discomfort. But he's been like since the minute we picked him up.
Right.
We actually chose him as one of the dogs we chose because we didn't think anybody else would want him.
Right.
Because
well,
he was so loved.
You know what? This breed, what they should do is they should line up these French bulldogs at one end of the football field and race them across. And the one that makes it is the one they should breed. But typically what they do is they breed the one in last place because it's the one that's all smushed up and the shortest legs and the cutest slash ugliest. So the thing is they come with these problems. I mean, if you've got too much cash in your bank account, this is a good breed to get if you've got to get rid of some money. So that's what you're left with. I mean, clearly, there's a significant issue here, particularly comparing them to the other one. And those are the things that can happen. The question is do you really need to do it? And that would be for the specialist to answer for all the different cases that they've seen. But I appreciate the call. I hope it goes well. I'm sure it will. And that's our show. And don't forget to go to the Canadian Pet Expo next weekend. Go to CanadianPetExpo.ca to find out all the great things going on. Thanks for listening. Be good to your pets.
Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.